everyone. Again, my name is Christine Hackman, and I'm a third-year doctoral student in health education, health promotion at the University of Alabama. And my topic is implications for college health programming, predictors of prescription opioid misuse in college students. And myself, along with Scott Leary and Dr. Stuart Eustan from the University of Alabama, and then Dr. Gallucci, Dr. Winveen, and Dr. Meyer from Baylor University are all contributors in this project. I have no relationships to disclose. So just a little bit, I'm just going to describe to you what you should be getting out of this. I'm going to describe previous research that examines associations with the misuse of prescription analgesics, or MPA. Then I'm going to identify significant predictors of MPA within my population. And then I will end with discussing future approaches to prescription drug misuse programming in college campuses. So first, just a little bit of background on MPA. Analgesics, prescription analgesics, or opioids, are highly effective, and they're actually used quite often. And these analgesics relieve pain by attaching to opioid receptors, which weaken pain signaling throughout the body, and that's how they work. MPA, so I'm going to be referring to MPA quite a bit, and that's defined as using your own prescription for reasons other than intended, which is technically medical misuse, or using someone else's prescription for any reason, so for any reason at all. MPA can lead to severe and adverse health consequences, such as addiction, dependence, and death, among many other consequences. And MPA has also been indicated in three-quarters of pharmaceutical-related overdose deaths, and that's intentional and unintentional. And also, if you look a little bit further into that, that is opioid only, and then opioid in combination with any other pharmaceutical. It's actually the most commonly implicated pharmaceutical in pharmaceutical-related overdose deaths. So pretty common. And also we have to look that these opioids or analgesics are highly accessible and highly available in the United States. In 2010, there are enough analgesics prescribed to medicate every American adult around the clock for over a month. And also in 2010, 1 in 20 people in the United States reported MPA. So fairly common. And prescription analgesics are chemically similar to common street drugs such as heroin, and they produce similar effects, and that's one of the reasons why we pay special attention to these opioids. Heroin is also an opioid, and it's interesting to note that when heroin is becoming more popular, more people are using it, actually prescription opioids or analgesics are actually, they've dipped down, and the popularity has actually decreased. So they actually cycle in opposition to each other, and that can be affected by different policies that affect regulation of either or just accessibility and availability of either of these drugs. And then there have been state and national programs to monitor prescription analgesics, such as PDMPs, which is prescription drug monitoring programs. There's at least 33 statewide programs in the United States. And then there are state drug laws that regulate prescribing of prescriptions and things such as pain clinics. So I'm going to narrow my focus a little bit further and just talk about college students and misuse. There definitely has been some research within this population with misuse, and it's only really started since about 2000. So recent studies have identified past year MPA between 12.1 and 22.4 in college students, so that's the percentage. And it is kind of a wide range that we've understood that within this range, there could be between about 12% and 22% of college students that actually misuse. So there definitely is somewhat of a disparity in understanding about how many people or college students actually misuse. And other individual risk factors have been identified for MPA. So being older, being Caucasian, having a Greek affiliation, poor academic performance, having a prescription for analgesics, frequent binge drinking, and binge drinking can be identified as 4 or more for females or 5 or more drinks for males in one sitting. That's usually what binge drinking is. And also we're looking at current binge drinking, and that's usually within the last 30 days. And then other illicit drug use has been associated with misuse. So now looking at the college environment and misuse, so relatively little has actually been done to study what the role of the environment has on misuse in college students. We do know from a few studies that colleges with competitive admission criteria and higher rates of illicit drug use, also non-HBCU status, that is associated with MPA. And looking at another better researched misuse, such as binge drinking, and binge drinking is also generally associated with MPA. So school type, Greek system, and then a higher proportion of males actually are associated with binge drink, with binge drinking within the environment. And then school type, there actually has been one study done that shows that a school with a Protestant affiliation actually has lower rates of binge drinking than non-Protestant affiliation. And that will be important a little bit later. So the purpose of the study was to investigate the role that school affiliation, alcohol use, prescription status, GPA, and demographics had on misuse. So how did we do this? Well, we, of course, obtained IRB approval from both schools that we were looking at, and we did look at two separate universities within this sample. There was a large private school, which did have a religious affiliation, and then the large public school, which obviously did not have a religious affiliation. It was a 76-question paper and pencil survey where we would go into classrooms, and during class times, students, as long as they fit the criteria, they filled out this survey, and this was done in spring 2013. And the items assessing past year MPA were taken from previously published literature, and that's McCabe et al. 2013. So looking a little bit at the data. So we had a sample of 775 students. We actually had 779 surveys, but some people who actually did not meet the criteria filled out the survey anyways, and we took those out. So the majority was female. Most were upperclassmen. Most were also Caucasian. We had almost a third with a Greek affiliation, and a little bit more than half were binge drinkers. And this is within the whole sample combined, so the two schools combined. And so looking at MPA within our sample, over a third had an analgesic prescribed within the last year, so pretty available. Almost half of participants with a prescription reported misuse. And over three-quarters of participants who misuse have a prescription. And 15.8% misuse their own prescription, and 9.8% use someone else's prescription. And so this 21.2%, that's actually, so someone could actually fit into both of those categories, so it's not just we're adding 15.8 and 9.8 up. You can actually fit either or both. So 21.2% had engaged in MPA during the previous year. And if we break that down by school a bit, you can see that in the public institution, about 25% indicated that they misused, as opposed to 16.2% in the private institution. And that was significantly different. And also just looking at motivations really quickly, and this is really just to understand maybe why people are actually doing this, and it will help along the line when we give this information to public health programmers, they can kind of focus and understand a little bit more of why and to target certain populations potentially. So to relieve pain, to relax and to relieve tension, to feel good or to get high, and to go to sleep. Those were the four most common reasons. And this is fairly consistent with literature that we've seen on MPA motivations. And of course, this doesn't add up to 100 because it was check all that apply. So first we looked at univariate significance, and then anything that was univariately significant with MPA, we then plugged into the final logistic regression model. So first, like I said, school was significantly associated with MPA. So it was prescription status, binge drinking, and Greek affiliation, and we just did chi-square analyses with those. And then with GPA, which is a continuous variable, we ended up doing a logistic regression, and that was highly significant as well. We also looked at gender, year in school, and race and ethnicity, and none of those were significantly associated with MPA. So in our final logistic regression model, GPA, Greek, school, binge drinking, so current binge drinking status, and then prescription, whether or not you had a prescription, they were all entered in. And if you look at the odds ratios, you can see that GPA, it's actually as your GPA increases, you are less likely to misuse. With binge drinking, you are 1.6 times more likely to misuse if you binge drink. And then prescription status, you are 11.652 times more likely to misuse if you have a current prescription. And those three were significant. In the multivariate logistic regression model, Greek and school were no longer significant. and we're actually going to investigate that in the next page. But it is important to look at that between 22.1 and 34.4% of the variance in MPA was explained with this model. So just looking a little bit further as to maybe why certain things became were significant and why certain things became non-significant. So both Greek and binge drinking, when you compare them, when you look at school, so the association between GPA and school, and then binge drinking in school, they're both significant. So there's definitely an interplay there, and potentially GPA and or binge drinking may have actually explained some of the variation that school may have caused. Same thing with binge drinking. And I also want to point out really quickly, binge drinking, there's a very big difference between the two schools with binge drinking. In the public school, 64.4 were current binge drinkers percentage versus 37.1% in the private institution were current binge drinkers. And, you know, that may have explained some of the difference within school univariately. So that's quite a difference. And binge drinking was also significantly associated with a Greek affiliation. Binge drinking was still significant. Greek affiliation was no longer significant within that multivariate model. And then prescription status was significantly associated with school. And again, but this one's a little bit interesting as well, because in the, if you remember back, the public school, actually more people misused in the public school, but more people actually had a prescription. So 37.6% of private school individuals had a prescription as opposed to 30.6%. So that kind of just indicates that there are other factors. It's not just if you have a prescription, you're going to misuse. There are definitely other factors in play. So what does this all mean? So simply having access to a prescription greatly increases your odds of MPA. Again, 11.652 times more likely. And there are fairly high rates of MPA in both schools. Again, about 25%, which is actually higher than has been published in the literature. And then 16.2% in the private school, which is kind of within that normal range. And it is important to understand the current risk factors for your priority population. For example, race and ethnicity, that's almost continuously shown to be a significant association with MPA. But in our sample, it was not. So it's really important, especially when you're programming, when you're creating programs for college students, you really have to understand which subpopulations you need to target. So some limitations, of course, we had some. This was a cross-sectional design, so correlation, of course, does not translate to causation. This was self-report, and there may have obviously been some recall bias, especially with binge drinking and maybe misuse measures. There was an underrepresentation within our sample. There was male students for both schools was underrepresented, and then Caucasians at the public school were also underrepresented. And then other potential confounding factors, of course, we only explained maybe up to 34.4% of that variance. Where is that other, you know, variance in MPA coming from? And then some implications for college health. I think it would be really important to focus on education of proper disposal of leftover medication because your odds are so much increased if you do have that current prescription. What are these students? What else can these students do with this prescription other than maybe, you know, take it when they're not supposed to or divert it or sell it or something like that? Do they know how risky it is? Do they know how, where, and when to dispose? Is there a place on campus that they can actually dispose of their prescriptions? That may be something to look into. Also, addressing the co-occurrence of MPA with other drug use, such as binge drinking. It was shown even in the multivariate model to be a significant predictor. And also, current literature, Boyd et al., 2014, says that we may want to differentiate between the non-medical misuse and using someone else's prescription. Are the motivations the same with maybe misusing your own as opposed to buying someone or taking someone else's and misusing and using theirs? So we may want to look into the differences between the motivations and potentially the different populations that are doing these two things. And then, of course, a further investigation into other personal and environmental factors. Of course, I did say that there was a public and a private institution. Well, what about religiosity? Maybe the actual environment of a religious institution, or maybe your own personal feelings of religiosity may affect your prescription misuse, as it does with binge drinking. Does anybody have any questions? Actually, we're holding those to the end, right? Okay. Thank you guys so much.